And John is nice enough to join us now from Oaklawn Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, appreciate it, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
John, we started the show by asking a poll question, which people are weighing in on our Twitter page. And we asked them, with the NCAA tournament in full swing, who would be your Kentucky Derby Final Four, meaning your Kentucky Derby superfecta? And Jude started and said, you know what? Royal Moe would definitely be in the hunt for me.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Hey, dude. Hey, how are you, John?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. I see you at the sale once in a while or whatever, but we don't travel in the same state anymore. But, you know, Royal Moe, he's a really cool horse, and you've done such a great job with him. I loved him last time. I thought he was an international good thing in the Robert B. Lewis. It wasn't that tough of a race, but, man, he came through with flying colors. That was a really good performance.
Yeah, he really looked great in that race.
John, what is it about that performance that makes you think, okay, he's a horse that can compete on the first Saturday in May?
Well, you know, watching him, he just looked like he galloped around. He did it, you know, obviously there was effort in it, but he made it look effortless.
Yeah, and that's so important to have, you know, a big win and an easy race on top of it as you're heading towards the Triple Crown. You don't want to, you know, burn him up early. And this horse looks like he's got a really high ceiling.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's a big horse. Big lanky guy, and so you know, with a horse like that, if all goes well, they should improve. You know, he wasn't particularly precocious or speedy, but he had this beautiful big stride, and you know, horses like that can continue to develop.
John, when did you first get the sense that he could really run?
You know, McCathen Brothers broke him in Alcala, and they thought he was one of the best that they broke that year. And they have a great clientele, and they have a really nice group of yearlings to break. So when they said that, then obviously we thought, well, he has talent. And then coming in, you know, he's one of the horses that he did everything right. He was just there every time it was time to work. He was okay, ready to work.
It's nice when you have a big horse like that. Sometimes the bigger horses can be a little bit of a bully or whatever, but when you have one like that that's so easy to deal with, it makes your job a joy.
Yeah, you know, and he's very stoic. You know, he's when you look at him, he looks very calm, and is a good demeanor about him. And we schooled him here the last couple of days. We let you go in the paddock when you go back out on the grass with it, because that's what's going to happen this afternoon. And he was good about it. He just stood in the stall there, and then we walked him out to the grass, looked around, and took him home. So he's nonplussed. You know, he handles everything well, which was one of the things that Giacomo did so well, is that nothing bothered him.
Yeah, Giacomo, Mike and I were on a panel of handicappers that year, and Mike liked Giacomo, and I liked the runner-up, and the panel ended up having the trifecta for $63,000. That was a derby none of us will ever forget.
Thank you, John.
There were some big payoffs, weren't there? Oh, my goodness. I bump into some people once in a while to say, oh, thank you.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, if Kieran's horse had won, I would be living in Barbados now.
I've heard that story, too, from other people.
John, do you ever go back and watch that race by Giacomo?
No. That's one of those things that you always want to remember. You know, you want to remember it, how it happened. So I've got such great memories of that race and everything surrounding it that I don't want to watch it. It's up in my head.
I read about that the other day on Twitter. Privman posted something about it, and I thought that was so great, because one of the things that we see now is people trying to film a race. You know, like when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, everybody had their cameras out and were trying to get a picture. Mm-hmm. Or this, and I didn't have my my phone out or anything. I just was watching the race, and I'm watching everybody try to film it, and I'm thinking, wow, this horse is winning the Triple Crown, and you're missing it because you're trying to get a really bad Magruder film of the stretch run. You know, I just feel like people are missing the boat sometimes, and I was so pleased to see you say that, because I think the race in your mind's got to be just so much more vivid than some, you know, old piece of film.
Oh yeah, no, the feeling surrounding it, you know, that's the big thing. You know, I can relive those feelings easily, and that's the great part of it.
So, John, how do you describe that day when Giacomo crossed the line first? What comes to mind when you think about it?
Disbelief. That's the first thing. Like, you know, it's just it's a dream, right? And to capture the dream was I couldn't believe it. I was as well aware the tunnel for the out of the paddock is not close to the finish line. The horses have another 16th of a mile to go past us. And so I think when he went by me, he was in, I think, third place, something like that. So I didn't know if he'd won or not. And Frankie, his exercise rider, is jumping up and down. Oh, we won, boss. We won, boss. We won, boss. Really? Did we win?
That's
no
great.
Way.
That's great. Speaking of disbelief, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people probably don't know your story and how you toiled on the California fairs for a long time. And you end up winning the Kentucky Derby. And now you're a Hall of Fame nominee. I mean, it's just an incredible story.
Yes, I've been truly blessed in that regard, and it's just been great. I mean, there have been so many people that helped me along the way, and I always tell everybody, you know, after I was nominated to the Hall of Fame, that I feel so good about it, because all it sort of justifies all the help people have given me along the way. And I feel like, you know, now I'm carrying them with me if I get in the Hall of Fame, you know what I mean? It's just a great, great feeling.
Yeah, it's an inspirational story, and it's got to give a lot of young trainers hope that it could happen to them, because, you know, you worked so hard for so many years, and you just were like, you know, every other trainer, and then all of a sudden things started turning around for you. You got some nice horses, and things were moving forward. So it just goes to show, if you just stick with it pay attention, you got a chance at the big time. And I think it's a story that really needs to be told.
Yeah, I always tell people when they ask me, I say, you know, it's preparation, right? You prepare all those years of hanging around the shed row, talking to the shoer, talking to other trainers and watching how other people do things. You know, it's all about preparation. So when your time does come, that you're prepared for it, and you have confidence in the decisions you're going to make. So, but, you know, it's those baby steps, you know, just spending time studying the horse, studying people, learning the business, especially the business of taking care of the horse. Really, well, that preparation will give a person a lot of confidence when the time comes.
Talking with trainer John Shiriffs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, when you think back on your career and you think back of how you started, all the big horses that you've had the privilege to be around in your career, what are a couple of those moments? Obviously the Kentucky Derby being one, but what are a couple of the other moments that are always going to stand out to you?
I know my first stake win was with Jane Driggers at Stockton, at the Stockton Fair, and I had a two-year-old by the name of Jade Ring. And so in the green sheet, it just said Jay Driggers next to the horse's name, and Henry Freitas was the owner. And so we're sitting on a bale of hay in front of the stall waiting for the race, and the pony boy rides by and says hello to Henry and says, "Hey, you got that girl on your horse today." And Henry looks at me, "Ah, oh, John, I thought we had a chance in this race, right?" And so he walks away, and he's a little disappointed. And then Jane won the race, and after the race, Henry shook his hand, her hand and said, "Oh, thank you," is all happy and everything. And reason I chose Jane Driggers to ride Jade Ring was because jockeys have big shoulders. A lot of jockeys are strong up in the front end, their shoulders, arms, things like that. And a girl, their weight is more around their hips and things. So with a young two-year-old that you want to get out of the gate, right? So you don't want all that weight in front of the withers. You want more of that weight in back of the withers so they'll go forward at the right moment. And so, you know, that's the reason I thought Jane would fit this horse really well. So that was my, you know, first stake win, and there was a reason for my decision.
Well, there you go. There's a reason number one that you're a Hall of Fame nominee, because I don't think a lot of trainers would think about the anatomy of a jockey fitting their horse like that. That's a classic story.
Yeah.
Well, John, before we let you go, I know you have some other things to get to on a busy morning at Oaklawn Park, but before we let you go, give us a little update on Gormley. Where does he stand after his performance last week?
Okay, so Gormley, I thought was an unfortunate situation for him. You know, he stumbled a little out of the gate, and then he got caught up in a speed duel, and I mean, that's not something you want to do with Bob Baffert's horse, right? So I thought, and then when the Iliad came up alongside of him, that put him in a bad spot. So I think that he came out of the race good. He looks good. He was fine. So I think next time maybe we can let him settle a little bit and try to come from off the pace a little bit, because I don't think that the Derby is going to be won by a horse going to the lead. So we've got to try something a little different with Gormley.
Yeah, he's already a Grade One winner, and if you can get him to rate a little bit, he could be a lot tougher. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's always a thing. You know, in the morning, as you well know, Jude, there are certain situations where the opportunity presents itself, and the rider, the exercise rider, or the jockey doing a workout or something should maybe take that opportunity, and so that's what I think if. With two speed horses, it would have been a good opportunity to see if he could sit behind them.
Well, he's John Sheriffs, and looking to win another Kentucky Derby. He'll look to take another step in the right direction with Royal Mo in this afternoon's Rebel at Oaklawn. John, as always, really do appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you so much, and all the best moving forward. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you. Good luck to you guys.